Ladies and gentlemen, turn up your computers and get ready, for a show is about to begin. This show is sure to entertain you and bring you more variety than anything you've ever experienced before. Because after all, on this podcast, anything goes! Hello there, everybody, and welcome to the fifth edition of the Anything Goes podcast. This is David, or DJD, as some of you may know me by, your host for today's show. And on this presentation, we have a pretty unique little show for you. I'm going to be presenting for you parts of an interview that I did on my ACB Radio Interactive program, the DJD Invasion, on Sunday, June 4th, 2006, with a young lady by the name of Jessica Silva from El Paso, Texas. Now, if any of you guys are on ZoneBBS.com, which is known as The Zone, you might know her by the nickname Lone Star. But she had an experience where she got the chance to audition and nearly make it onto the American Idol TV series. And so, on my show, I asked her to talk about the process, what you go through, what steps are taken to get you from one place to another, her likes and dislikes, and various other things. And on this podcast, I'm going to be playing for you some clips from that interview, so you can hear a little bit about the American Idol process and what it was like for a young lady, and one who's also totally blind, in going through the process. So we're going to be covering that on today's show, and at the end, you're going to get to hear a little sound clip of her singing a part of a song that she's currently working on that she wrote. So we'll be getting to that near the end of the program. Before we get to the interview, though, I would just like to tell you, if you would like to contact me about this interview, if you have any questions about it or anything you'd like to say about the podcast in general, I can be reached in one of two ways. I can be reached by email at the address the_podcaster. That's the_podcaster at wdjm3.com. the_podcaster@wdjm3.com. You can also call me on my comment line at the address 206-495-6555. That's 206-495-6555. And if you would like to subscribe to my podcast, the address to put into your podcatcher is http://feeds, that's F-E-E-D-S, /anything_goes. That's feeds.feedburner.com/anything_goes. That's the underscore sign and then goes. All right, well, we're now going to begin my interview that I did with this young lady, Jessica, as she begins to talk about her American Idol experiences and everything that went on. And I apologize, the mic quality in this interview was not great. We were working with a microphone that wasn't working very well, and so there were parts of the interview that didn't come out as crystal clear as I would have liked. But this was, we were working in the auditorium of the school I'm attending here, and as a result, there were some things that, production-wise, didn't go quite the way I had hoped. But we do the best we can here, and so, with that in mind, I present to you the Jessica Silva interview as she talks about her experiences getting into American Idol. All right, so now, Jess, this is where you really get the center stage. Tell us everything. Basically, I want to know how it began. How did you get a chance? How did the chance come that you got to do American Idol? How did you get involved? Let's hear about the audition process. I want to hear everything. So start chatting away. Tell us the world. The inquiring minds want to know.
Well, it all started when there was a local competition going on called El Paso Idol. And that was exactly what it was. It was like a little American Idol kind of, you know, tip-off thing. And whoever won that
Competition
got a free audition to Las Vegas in American Idol.
Viva Las Vegas! Yeah.
Okay. I started there. I got into the top 10 there. And in the top 10 was interesting because we didn't have necessarily themes, but we had to choose certain kinds of songs, I guess.
Like, what kinds would they make you do for like, the El Paso Idol? Well, they wanted to make it like American Idol, kind of, I guess, is why they did that. Yeah.
They made sure that you did one, in the top 10 round anyway, they made sure that you did one a cappella song and one song with music.
So what did you do for the El Paso Idol?
I did, to get into top 10, I did Whitney Houston, The Greatest Love of All.
Mm.
And then and during top 10, I did Debbie Boone, You Light Up My Life.
I do? I light up your life?
No,
dude. No, okay, I'm just kidding, you know, I did.
And then I did, what was the other song? Vision of Love by Mariah Carey.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't think for a second what the other song was. Anyway, so...
That was her first hit, actually, 1990.
Yes, it was. She wrote it in the middle of the night, actually.
Ooh. Yeah. She had a vision in the night, and she had a vision of love, and a vision in the night, and that's how the song came to be.
I did those songs, the votes came in, everybody was extremely shocked because I didn't even end up in the top three.
Wow.
And the crowd was, the crowd really had no say in who they picked. The judges had more of a say. They got to vote, and the judges would pick based on the votes, but it wasn't necessarily 100% on the votes.
Hmm.
And so a lot of the audience was extremely shocked that I didn't at least get second or third place.
Okay.
So anyway, I started going to college. I forgot about it. I was like, okay, whatever.
Did the judges give you any feedback or any explanation as to what they didn't like or what they wanted? I mean, did they...
Well, the judges were interesting because one of them was a musician. He was a jazz musician kind of person, and he was a lounge singer. One of them was a radio DJ, mm-hmm. and the other one was a news reporter.
Ah.
So, you got judged from all sorts of different angles as far as performance, style, and stage presence.
I see.
And basically, their main thing for me was I had a lack of stage presence.
Hmm.
So I was like, okay.
What do you mean, like, you didn't do anything up there? Other than
I guess they wanted me to move or something. I don't really know.
Well, it is visual, a lot of these things. They're all about visual appearance and things. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
So anyway, you forgot about them, went to college.
I went off to college.
What were you studying in college?
I was doing general studies. I was going to transfer to the University of North Texas after and do my music major.
Ah.
But anyway, I got a call about 2 weeks later, 2 or 3 weeks later, from one of the persons that was in charge of El Paso Idol. She said, I need to speak to you. And I said, why? And she said, because I have a friend of mine who works for a hearing aid company.
What? Huh? Oh, okay.
And she said, she's willing to sponsor you to go to American Idol with the winner of the El Paso Idol.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what? You know, and she's like, yeah. And I was like, no way. And she said, yeah, totally free of charge. You go to Las Vegas, they're paying for you.
Oh, that must have felt really good.
I was like, well, okay. So I did. I went to Las Vegas. I went to the auditions expecting the worst. I expected to come back that same day or at least the day after and just continue on my merry little way with college.
So you get the call. You're getting sponsored. You're on the plane. You get to Vegas. What happens?
I got to Vegas, and there was, like, a lot of people that auditioned.
Did you meet anybody interesting? Anyone that actually made it past? Like
yeah,
made
but
it.
That didn't come until later.
All right, well, we'll get to that then. Okay, so you audition. Go ahead.
So anyway, what ends up happening is there's these booths. There's like four booths, and each booth has like all these producers. Y'all don't see this part on TV.
No.
They have like all these producers, and you audition for all these producers like of the show.
How did they handle the whole blind card thing? Were they good about making sure you got to the right place? And were people helpful and stuff like that?
I got to take someone along with me.
Ooh, so who did you take? Who was the lucky who got the lucky free ride to Vegas?
My hairstylist.
Your hairstylist. Interesting. No, I'm being serious. That's an interesting choice. You know, most people would say they bring a brother, a friend, or something. You brought your hairstylist. Okay, then whatever works. And I guess she does well with your hair, too.
She does.
And you wanted her to do the perfect job, of course.
That's right. I wanted to look good, okay.
Were people surprised that you chose your hairstylist, or were you guys really close outside of that?
No, a lot of people knew I was probably going to take her.
Oh, well, good. Well, hey, you know, whatever works, whatever you got going on there, that's what I like to hear.
Gives me discounted prices on my hair.
Ooh, stuff. Lucky you. Anyway. All right, but to continue, though, we digress. So, yeah. Okay, go on.
So, anyways, I got to take someone along, so that wasn't so bad. As far as, you know, them looking at me because I was blind, they didn't really say anything bad about it.
No one asked you any questions about it or anything?
Not really. They didn't really ask why I wore sunglasses either, so it was all good.
Oh, well, I didn't know you wore glasses either myself.
I don't now, but I did. I do on occasion.
Ah. Okay, so, what did you have to do for the auditions? Let's hear.
We sang a cappella songs. I did. I ended up singing I Have Nothing by Whitney Houston as my audition piece from The Bodyguard.
You're a big Whitney Houston fan, eh?
Oh, I love Whitney Houston.
Apparently so.
Anyway, I moved on to the second round of the auditions in Vegas.
God, you must have been freaking out this whole time. I mean, I can imagine, like, it must be a lot of pressure when you're in front of all these big, fancy people with, you know, suits and ties on, sitting there listening to you. It must have been a bit nerve-wracking. I mean, even if you do like performing, it must have still been a little bit nerve-wracking. I can't believe
it was very nerve-wracking. Because, you know, then I got there, and then when I got to that second round, you're not quite at the judges yet. You're at the executive producers.
Ooh, the big wigs are growing here.
Yeah. Okay. So I did Killing Me Softly by the Fugees.
One time.
Yep.
Yes.
I did that song, and actually that was when I tried to do the whole stage presence thing and dance around, and they were like, no, don't do that again, because they said my dancing was horrible.
Well, probably it was not, I mean, unless you had practiced it, you know, you don't want to dance and do something up there unless it's natural, you know, because otherwise then it looks, you know, odd or goofy.
So they said to me, well, sing a song where you don't have to try to show off anything, and so I did an old song that I had done before.
What song?
I did The Greatest Love of All again.
Ah, The Greatest Love of All.
I knew it was a guaranteed song that people liked from me. Anyway, so I did that, I passed, I went through, and I finally got, on the third day of me being there in Vegas, third or fourth day, I finally got to meet Simon, Paula, and Randy.
Ooh, boy, how was that? Tell us about Simon, Paula, and Randy. What are they like? Like, what was that? That must have been really cool.
Yeah, they're just as they are on TV. Paula's really, really sweet, and she's short.
Yeah.
For all y'all that don't know, she's really short. Anyway.
Now, is this part where you got to meet them actually filmed on TV or no?
Yes, this part, yes.
So had I known that you were there, I could have actually put the TV on in the early stages of that American Idol round and actually,
No, you wouldn't have seen me because they didn't end up showing me.
Damn, all right.
That's another issue.
Well, we'll get there. But anyway, so you got to meet Simon.
I got to meet Simon, Paul, and Randy. They made me sing two songs. Which, again, I did a guaranteed Whitney Houston thing.
Yeah.
And then I did an old song called To Sir With Love by...
Ah, Lulu. Yeah. Yes, from the number one hit from the top hit of 1967. Yes. Of course. Wow, that's cool. How did that go? That song, that's cool.
It's a nice song.
It definitely has its place in music, in the music chart world. It, like I said, it was number one for 67, so...
Basically, after all those performances were done, Paula loved me. Well, we had the... Each city had a guest celebrity there.
Oh.
Like, during the judge round.
Oh, nice.
We had Kenny Loggins.
Oh, wow.
So, Paula and Kenny Loggins were all, like, totally like, oh my gosh, you're so good.
Did you ask him if his mama really doesn't dance and his daddy really doesn't rock and roll?
No, I didn't. I forgot.
You know, tell him to leave Pooh Cooner alone for a while, because
yeah,
that album was terrible. And everything else, yeah, Footloose, yeah, you gotta tell him. Wasn't he also on the highway to the danger zone?
Yeah,
yeah, that's right, and that's it, and you get Kenny Loggins, that's it, and the one thing he did which was really cool was the Whenever I Call You Friend with Stevie Nicks, that was cool.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever I call you friend, yeah, I like that song, but no, a lot of my friends don't like it, though. I've shown it to a few people, they're like, eh, I mean, it's not the greatest, but I don't
really
know.
That great
but
song,
it were, it isn't bad, though. There's worse songs out there, you know.
Aww.
There's definitely worse songs out there than that, I mean, you know. It's not that bad. You know, like, you know, like, you know, but whatever. Go on. You were saying, so you got to meet Kenny Loggins. So he was all with you. He was all down with Jessica.
Him and Paula totally were like, oh my gosh, you're good. He basically just said that I had raw talent and that if he could have a chance to work with me, I'd be absolutely amazing.
Who, Kenny Loggins?
Yeah.
Too bad you couldn't have followed up with that, like kept in touch with him or something.
Nice. Simon said...
No, he's the...
Actually, hold on. Before I skip Simon, I'm going to go to...
You go to Randy.
I'm going to go to Randy, because Randy was interesting. Randy said, I was really, really good, or I was good, but I didn't, quote, blow him away, unquote.
Oh, dear.
And he just never really seemed to get into me much while I was there.
You know, that's everybody has their way. What about Simon Cowell?
Now, Simon...
The incomparable.
Interesting, because he said, you are really, really good. He says, you can sing. He says, I think you have the ability to grow and improve in this competition, so I'm going to say yes. And because it was a 3-1 vote, I went to Hollywood.
You get there. You're in Hollywood. You're all excited. You're jumping up and down. You're doing a little dance in the shower.
Yay.
You know, you're doing the Jessica Moon dance, running around with no clothes on, dancing and jumping around. Hey, I made the American Idol. Hey, I'd be celebrating, too. You go to Hollywood.
Anyway.
I'm just giving you a hard time, but I'm just excited.
I went to Hollywood. I found out when we got to Hollywood that there were 199 other people there.
Ooh.
So that was like, oh my gosh. But the scarier thing was, out of the entire people that auditioned in the country, there were 10,000 people that auditioned for that season, and us 200 people that went to Hollywood were the only ones left.
Woo! That's pretty hip stuff.
That's cutthroat cutting
edge.
That
is cutthroat. That is cutting edge. That's just amazing. It's phenomenal.
Yay.
Yes, absolutely.
So we, you know, basically I went to Hollywood. We got a tour of Hollywood. And then we went to the theater where I was going to sing, and they gave us a list of 12 songs.
Mm-hmm.
Each person had to pick 2 of those 12 songs. We all had the same 12 songs. We all had to pick 2 songs that we wanted to sing.
Were the songs any good? Like, was it stuff we'd know? Like, were they like older songs, or what kind of songs?
A lot of them were older songs, but they were pretty well-known songs.
Oh, excellent. What did you choose?
I chose... Figures, Whitney Houston.
Of course.
How will I know?
I don't know. Oh, no. Okay, yeah. I know. I got you.
And I chose Diana Ross, When You Tell Me That You Love Me.
Ooh. All right. When You Tell Me That You Love Me. Excellent.
I sang those songs. We basically were divided into groups. I sang my songs, and then my little group came up, and they basically, this is the part where they said yes or no. They didn't explain why they cut you, but they just cut you.
No.
And we sent the line, and Paula and Simon and Randy, you know, took one up one by one, and they said yes or no. They came down to it, and they said yes to the first 2 people before me, and then they come to me, and then... Paula said yes, Randy said no. Simon had the longest time trying to decide.
Uh-oh.
And then he finally said no.
Damn. All right, so after the American Idol experience, like, how did you feel? Like, did you feel you got something out of it? Did you feel, like, kind of let down? I mean, let down? What was your... Because I know another person who actually went for the American Idol thing. They were auditioned in Boston. I don't know if it was the same season as you. It might have been, actually.
Is her name Casey or Lacey? Or
Melissa.
And
she was just, I mean, no, I don't know, I guess maybe every, I don't know if it's done differently in each state, but I guess where she was, I mean, that she said it was very, she thought it was very poorly done. She was upset that,
blind?
Oh, yeah, and she, well, they, first of all, they were very bad about, you know, letting her know where she was supposed to go in terms of, getting to the right booth and place to audition. Then she got into the situation where there was her and, like, 2 other people. And her and this one other person, you know, could sing and everything, and the third person couldn't. And they chose that, you know, they were like off key and everything. They chose that person. It was almost as if they were looking for someone for Simon and Randy and them to make fun of on their little beginning part of the show. And she just kind of felt like the whole thing was a joke. So I'm kind of curious, you know, the way they do it, and it's all about, you know, it's very, they don't necessarily judge it on talent. That's how she thought it was. So I'd be curious to know what your thoughts are on it and what you observed and that kind of thing, because that was really interesting that I actually got to talk with 2 people who went through the process. So be curious to know what you think.
They don't, from what I know. or from what I could tell, they judge a little bit on talent, but you also have to have the package, you also have to have the marketing, whatever you want to call it. They want someone who they can market, is what they want.
Do you ever see them do you ever see them taking a blind person? Because there are some people that might think that it isn't marketable. I don't think it matters. It shouldn't matter.
I don't think it matters, but obviously these people did, because I honestly did not get shown on season 4.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I made it really, to the Hollywood round and everything, they didn't show me except for, in the background when I was sitting down.
Were you the only one who didn't get shown?
No, there was a lot of people that didn't get shown.
All right, well, yeah. I mean, I guess I see what you're saying. I guess it's hard, you can't pinpoint it as that being the reason, but I see what you're saying. And, I guess it's pretty hard, that's really unfortunate. But did you feel let down, though, or did you feel like you got something out of it? What was your impression after the whole experience?
I had a mixed feeling about it, actually. I felt like I got something out of it. I was happy that I went. I was happy. I learned about the music business. I learned how to be stronger as a musician. I learned what it's like to be against singers that are just like me, who can sing even better or just as well. But at the same time, I felt very bitter for the longest time. I've gotten over that, obviously, and I congratulate, anyone else who goes and tries and feels better, because it's hard.
Yeah, I imagine. I could see it being a little deflating. You worked very hard and got there purely on somebody's sponsorship, and you almost made it, to the another round, and that would have been really, really cool. Is there anything about the process, how they go about things, that you liked and or didn't like?
Honestly, I kind of liked the sorting out of auditions, like the all these auditions before the judges, because it ended up sorting out who was worthy, in my opinion, of singing in front of those people.
Mm.
So I kind of liked that. I mean, I know a lot of people probably didn't. Now, it's kind of sad you don't get to see all that on TV, because there is a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that you really don't see on TV. What I don't like, to be honest with you, is the kind of emotions they look for. For instance, if I can try to describe this well.
Go ahead.
When I got turned down and they said no, I held in my tears. I held them in, and they interviewed me, and I was on camera, whatever, and I said what I had to say, mm-hmm. and then I left.
Okay.
And I went to go, sit down on the couch. And then when I left to go sit down, that's when I started crying, because I was off camera.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? That wasn't good enough. They wanted me crying. So they ended up finding out that I was crying over there on the couch, and they came back with the camera. And obviously I was already crying, so I couldn't really stop myself from crying.
Yeah, I don't like that either. Why do they need to, add it? I guess how I look at it is insult to injury. You just got turned down. Why do they have to show you crying? I agree with you. I think that I don't see any need to do that. I mean, that's just tacky.
So that was the main thing with me that I didn't really like. But for the most part, my experience with them wasn't all that bad.
That's good. If you were to audition again, well, first of all, would you audition again? And if so, is there anything that you personally, in terms of preparation or anything, would do differently?
Probably not. I'd probably just try to make sure I looked better or more presentable, if anything.
Marketable, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, whatever. But I do know I have a very good voice. Probably some lessons would benefit me, but it's not necessarily a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody can benefit from improvement.
I see. So it sounds like you really had a good experience. Certainly something to talk about. And it's really cool to get a glimpse into American Idol, because your experiences with it, even if they weren't perfect, were relatively positive. Whereas my other friend, they tore American Idol up to pieces when I spoke to them. So it's amazing how your experiences can differ with these things. And it sounds like you had a really, really good time, though. And it sounds like you'd do it again. Would you?
Honestly, I don't know. I might not. I was going to do it this past year, but I don't remember what happened. I couldn't do something. I'm thinking about going to Nashville Star next time around, though, and seeing how I do there.
Okay. And there you have the interview I had with Jessica discussing the American Idol process. And really, I have no major criticisms of any kind. I mean, she did her best, and she worked hard. However, I will make one comment about something she said at the very end of the interview, because I think it needs to be addressed. When I asked her if there was anything she would have done differently, and she said, really not, other than to look better. I think what she really would have well, she can say whatever she wants, I guess, but I think what should have been her response in terms of improving herself is to develop some sort of stage presence. I mean, that was one of the things that got her out of the El Paso Idol, according to her, from which the judges told her there, which is why she almost didn't get onto the American Idol auditions at all. And I think that, you know, there seems to be this theme of people, or at least people that I've spoken to, that perform, who are visually impaired or blind, that don't have a stage presence. Now, I'm not saying that's true for everybody. I'm not making that generalization at all. But, the couple people that I've spoken to that have really tried to get onto the American Idol kind of, you know, didn't have the stage presence. They didn't dance. They didn't move up there. They just kind of stood up there and sang. And unfortunately, we're in a world where people like to see things happening on the stage other than just somebody singing. They like to see somebody moving a little bit, you know, a little dancing. That's why in videos you always see the singers dancing and things like that, just because it adds a little spice to what's going on up there. It's not just someone singing at you and someone, you know, staring at you and staring at the cameras or whatever is going on. So I think if, you know, my thing is I think Jessica really should be concerned about that, because that could be, you know, improving on her presence a little bit, or just maybe getting, you know, a little something going on, maybe learning how to dance a little bit, you know, to some of the songs that she likes to sing, and just learning how to do something up on the stage other than just standing there might be the difference between her making it big in some type of a singing group or not. Because obviously that was something that she did get some comments on, and when she did try to do a dance for one of the songs, it didn't work out well for her. So I think that it would be in Jessica's best interest, just from being an observer and someone who spoke on the, you know, with the interview, I think it would be in her best interest to really, you know, maybe focus on improving that part of her game. Because as you'll hear in the little sound clip that I'm about to play for you, it's a song she is working on writing that she didn't finish, but let us hear part of, called Smiling Faces. You're going to hear her voice is good. I mean, she definitely knows how to sing. But I think that the stage presence is something that really needs to be a big focus of her act right now. Like I said, there was definitely some comments about the lack of stage presence, and it may have been what would have made Randy, you know, excited about having her up there. I don't know why he didn't like her, and I'm not saying that's the reason. But this is just me giving my thoughts and commentary based on what was heard in the interview, And I think that's something that's important and something she really should be working on. Jessica has a website where I got this little sound clip that you're about to hear. And the web address is www.soundclick, that's soundclick.com/Jessica Silva. That's JessicaSilva. So that's www.soundclick.com/Jessica Silva, all one word. And that's where you can go and hear some of the country songs that she covered, which we obviously cannot play here because of PodSafe reasons. However, we can play this little song clip, which we're going to play right now, which is part of a song that she is working on and would definitely like some feedback on in terms of whether she should finish it. And I think it's a good one, and I think it has potential to be good. So if you like the song, you can go onto her website and contact her there and tell her what you think. But I'm going to present it for you now. Jessica doing the first verse of a song she's working on called Smiling Faces.
Oh, yeah. There are times that I think of you. Give to me, and then there are nights that my heartbeat races, and the smiling faces torment me, and then there's times that I can't sleep at night, and I can't the light of your smile, oh, and I'm never gonna see your face again, and my heart will never have that place it again. And no matter what I do, I can't erase your smiling face.
And there you have it, with Jessica's first verse of Smiling Faces, the tune she is currently working on. Well, that's about it for this edition of the Anything Goes podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed hearing a little bit about the American Idol process. It's definitely nice to get inside the whole thing and figure out what's going on. I do wish her all the best of luck with her singing and her career and whatever else she decides to pick up on and go for. But I definitely think, as I said before, that the stage presence is something she should definitely be concerned about based on what the interview had to say. And I think it's something that, you know, she should definitely be focusing on and improving about her game, because she definitely has the vocal talent. All right, folks, you know how to get in touch with me, the_podcaster@wdjm3.com, or by the comment line at 206-495-6555. This is David, taking off now, and I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Talk to you guys soon. Later.